There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. We can read this in the book of Matthew 24, verse 24. Now, I'd like to stop right there and ponder on that thought for a minute. Do we, as the children of God, take the scripture to heart, knowing that in the end time, false Christs and false prophets out to deceive the children of God before the return of Christ? As Jesus Christ warned his disciples of the end time, this same warning also pertains to us today. As we can read in Matthew 24, it says, "Therefore they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert. Do not go out. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." We know, brethren, that at the end time, there will come a time of great tribulation. Such has not been since the beginning of this world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days should be shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, the children of God, those days shall be shortened. Today is the day we call the Feast of Trumpets. A time in the future, Christ returns to this earth and is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A day that we can rehearse and understand the meaning of what this day pictures, and why we need to be focused, why we need to be praying for this day to come soon for all of mankind. We have the opportunity now. God is revealing his truth to us today, so we can understand his plan of salvation and what role the saints have in his family. This is a day we should look forward to, a time to look forward to the future, not reliving the past. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and 6, describes to us the seals that are open before Christ returns to this earth. There are going to be many forms of tribulation. We can read about wars, diseases, famines, great earthquakes across the land, even cosmic disturbances in heaven, just to name a few. Mankind will come to the edge of destroying himself, looking for a way he can bring peace to the earth, not realizing his government has failed. Then we can read in Revelation chapter 8 and 9, the sound of six trumpets blasting one by one, sending out greater plagues on mankind over all the earth. To some, this is known as the wrath of God. To others, they would call it the day of the Lord. A seventh trump blows, and there with great voices in heaven saying, "Kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." A day we as the children of God, as I said, are looking forward to see. "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." What an awesome day this will be. Let's begin rehearsing some of the events that lead up to the return of our Lord and see how we can prepare ourselves for Christ's return. We must be armed with godly knowledge in order for us to be able to understand the events that take place, so we can be able to prepare ourselves to be able to endure to the end. So let's begin reading where God has given us the command. Let's turn to Leviticus 23. In Leviticus chapter 23, we'll start in verse 23. It says, "And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made of fire unto the Eternal." This day, Today is the first day of the seventh month, holy time to God. A day God has commanded us to observe, an annual Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. We call it the Feast of Trumpets. Are we keeping this day holy the way God intends us to do so? We are to be wise stewards, doing what God expects us to do, that when Christ returns, will he find us busy, working, doing his will? Let's turn to Luke 12. In Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 42, it says, "And the Lord said, who then is this faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." See, we are to be active in God's truth. We are to be learning and willing to be taught God's truth. We are to set the right example for each one of us and to talk with one another, edifying one another, giving praise and giving glory to God. We need to be able to explain about God's magnificent plan of salvation for all of mankind when others ask. We are to testify in the Lord. We should no longer walk as others walk in the world, in the vanity of their mind, having dark understandings and being alienated from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we begin reading in verse 2. It says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." We are to be busy, ready to give an answer in all times and in all seasons. This includes explaining any part of God's laws, his statutes, and his judgments. Continuing in verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." See, this also includes God's people. Those who have made the commitment, they have made the sacrifice to give up all and to follow Christ, turning back to their old way of life. It doesn't have to be strictly for those who do not care about hearing God's word at this time. Let's continue reading in verse 5. It says, "But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." See, brethren, we're to be good stewards. We're to be good teachers. God is the one and the only one that we serve. God is the one that we come to praise, and we give him the glory and the honor. In verse 6, it says, "For I am ready because are being poured out as an offering at this time of my departure at hand. For I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love him at his appearing." See, are we looking forward to this day when it comes reality? See, we are to be living our life, and are we living our life, to the point that where we can say, we have fought the good fight, and our crown is laid up for us. Well, only God truly knows that answer. But are we doing all that we can do to know about God, to love him, to serve him with our entire being? See, we are to have the voice of a trumpet, crying out and letting the nations know of their transgressions. This is a job God has given to his people. Let's read about that in Isaiah 58. In Isaiah chapter 58, and verse 1, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." See, we're to be a living sacrifice to God, to please him, to serve him. with our entire heart, mind, and body. If we are not giving 100% to God, it's not acceptable. We want to be found working when Christ returns. Will there be faith in God's people when Christ returns? As Luke 18:8 says, "When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" See, we should take this warning of the trumpet seriously. If we do not take the warning seriously, our blood is on our own head. We have the position as the watchman to blow the trumpet. We have all been called into God's fold, and each one of us have our own position to fulfill. Christ is coming. Christ is coming to establish the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ will have dominion. He will have glory, a kingdom that all people, all nations, all languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall never pass away. And his kingdom that he sets up can never be destroyed. Are we doing, and what are we doing, brethren, to prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ, both physical and spiritual? We must seek God while he may be found. He has planted a very tiny portion of his Holy Spirit in each one of us. And it is our responsibility to make sure we allow that Spirit to grow. This is one way we prepare ourselves mentally. God is seeking out his people, or where they have been scattered, and he has placed them according to his purpose. Let's turn to Ezekiel 34. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we'll pick up the story in verse 11. It says, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they are scattered on the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God." See, God is going to take care of his people. He is most interested in us. God cares for his sheep. Jesus Christ cares for his sheep. He touches them. He touches us with his Holy Spirit, like a shepherd touches the sheep with a shepherd's rod, by letting them know that he is there caring for them, taking care of their needs. Christ takes care of our needs. He cares for us because he is the true shepherd. He gave himself for us. With God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, do we try to control the Holy Spirit, or do we allow God's Holy Spirit to control us? I'd like for you to think about that statement for a minute while we turn to Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, scripture everybody has in their memory. Ephesians 5, verse 21, it says, "Submitting to one another in the fear of God." See, if we have a problem with someone, we cannot submit to them. So who is controlling who? See, we are to honor Christ by submitting to one another. Jesus Christ, the husband, the wife, the church. All of us together make up the body. And if we're not truly submitting to Jesus Christ, and have not truly submitted to Christ, then how can we submit to one another? It's that simple. See, Satan and his counterfeit religion has the whole world deceived. As Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He has cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Satan has the whole world deceived. Does Satan have us in his grips? See, we are to be clean. We are to be pure. We are to be holy, to attend our wedding. We are to be zealous to marry Jesus Christ. What's sad about the concept is there are many in the Church of God today that do not have a clue of what's going on in the family of God. They have isolated themselves, not understanding the need of his brother. As John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, Christ called the disciple friends. Christ died. He laid down his life for them. He laid down his life for us, his friends. Mankind did not take his life. Christ offered it. So where would we be today if Christ did not lay his life down? There would be no hope. But he did, and we know what our master is doing because he calls us friend. Let's turn to John 15. In John chapter 15, verse 15, it says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. See, we are to learn to love one another. We're to learn to love our brother, to care for our brother as Christ cares for us. We are our brother's keeper. In order to be able to understand the true meaning of love, we must have an intimate relationship with God. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. We'll pick up the story in verse 3. It says, now he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there will be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he, as verse 13 says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. See, the Bible is written for the church of God. It's profitable for the world, but it's written for the church. It is our instruction book of life. We can call it our owner's manual. So why would the world be offended and hate one another? Because they already do. They just find different areas that they can walk together. But the same also goes for the church of God. Will we turn against ourselves? Well, I think we know the answer. We do that also. As scripture comes to mind in 1 Corinthians 13, let's turn there. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. You see, brethren, this is a person or a group who seems to have it all together. They have it all. They have their act together. They know God. They have the gift of prophecy. They understand the mysteries and the knowledge of God. They understand his plan of salvation. They live a righteous life. But as it continues reading, but if they do not have love, if I don't have love, if you don't have love, if they don't have love for the brethren, then they are nothing. See, God is calling and he's sorting out his people, placing them where he wants them to be in the body. We cannot outguess God. Let's turn to Romans 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, "For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then different gifts, or having differing according to the grace that is given to us, let them use them. If prophecy, let them prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let them minister. Who teaches in teaching? He who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberty. He that leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." See, God likes variety. He likes variety. Let's not get deceived in our way of thinking that we all have the same function. We all carry the same job. In the preaching of the good news, the feeding of the flock, making disciples, or anything else. Think about this picture. It would look pretty silly. Christ being the head with a foot underneath of him. Let's not let our carnal knowledge and lack of knowledge deceive us from the truth of God. Let's turn to Hosea 4. In Hosea chapter 4, and start in verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." See, this is a strong warning for us. We say we know God, but if our actions say something different, do we really know? We can claim we have the knowledge of God, but if we cannot submit to one another, once again, do our actions speak something different? See, Christ is returning to this earth to set up his kingdom, to marry the bride. He's coming to this earth to marry the bride and set his kingdom up. And he wants a bride that is beautiful, a bride that is pure, clean, and holy. Christ is being selective. He is not going to just settle for any wife or anyone that sits on the couch and eats Doritos all day. He wants to find his wife working, preparing herself for her wedding to marry her adorned husband. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, and verse 2, it says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." See, we can claim we know the Bible, but if we're not living it, our mind is corrupted from the simplicity of Jesus Christ. See, God's life is simple. We're the ones that want to make it difficult. Turn to a few pages to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Yes, we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." Dropping down to verse 12, it says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but with grace of God and more abundantly toward you or towards us. See, the world has rejected God and wants no part of his way of life. Mankind will try to set himself up as being supreme ruler, claiming to be God, trying to rule the world. Society will judge, convict, according to the knowledge that they know. And they will allow themselves and allow others to be destroyed for the purpose of gaining world peace and rulership. See, Christ must return to this earth to save mankind from his own destruction. And for the elect's sake, those days are shortened. Satan and his demons gather the nations together to fight against Christ's return. Let's read this account in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 16. And verse 14. It says, "For they are spirits and demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of Almighty God. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walks naked and they see his shame." And they gather them together in a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. And then we read where the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air with a loud voice, and it came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." See, each one of us in one way or another is a watchman. We're to watch. We're to warn the nation, warning those who have fallen asleep, proclaiming that God, our Lord, is returning with great power and majesty. We have been called to blow that trumpet and to wake up those that have fallen asleep. Let's turn to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, and let's start in verse 2. It says, "Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." See, we're to be watching. We're to be praying. We're to be warning. We have all been called. Christ will return like a thief in the night, but we must be vigilant, not to slumber and to sleep. When Christ returns, though, at the last trump, all eyes will be on him, and the world will know Christ is returning. Or will they? Let's turn to Zechariah 14. In Zechariah chapter 14. And verse 1, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. And I will gather unto the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of your people shall be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fought in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half towards the south." See, Christ will come, and he will conquer man's rule on earth, and establish a new government, one that is ruled with a rod of iron, but showing love, showing compassion towards one another. If we are faithful till the end, we too have the opportunity to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." See, every eye will see Christ when he returns with the shout of that archangel the trumpet. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll pick up in verse 52. It says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." See, the saints of God will rise from the dead, and those who are alive that remain on the earth will be caught up together in the clouds with Christ and changed from mortal to immortal. For them, death is swallowed up in victory. In the book of Revelation 19, let's turn there. Revelation 19 and verse 11. It says, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had the name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of the mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Yes, Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Where are those who were changed and met Christ in the air? They are with Christ, doing whatever he desires them to do. So when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And until that day fully ascends, let each one of us comfort each other with these words. Jesus Christ is returning to this earth, and we have the opportunity to be with him forever and ever if we endure to the end. Brethren, let's prepare ourselves to be ready for Christ's return.